Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Hello, ladies.
I wonder if we could do a supercut of all our hello. That'd be boring to listen to.
Actually, that reminds me that one time I said that I was going to do an AWD bloopers. Yeah. And I started pulling it together and then I was like, this is taking years off my life and it's not worth it.
I could never figure out. So we used to edit back in the Middle Ages. We used to edit ourselves and we'd take turns each week. And I remember having really funny moments and I literally just could not for the life of me figure out how to extract them from GarageBand. Like, it was so complicated that I was like, it's just not worth it.
I know.
Ever.
I do have bloopers somewhere, but it's probably like a minute and it's probably not that funny.
I know. We think that they're like the lost, I don't know, lost comedy gold.
Yeah, I was just telling Grace.
Yes, please tell everyone what you just told me.
I was telling Grace that I kept having stupid thoughts on the way walking to her house about what I wanted to say on the podcast. And I was in like such a stupid mood. And I said, one of the things I wanted to tell you, but I got too excited and told her over lunch, was that when we were in Greece, I said to my friend Hannah, like, don't assume because you'll make an ass out of you and me. And then, don't know what she was doing. And then I like...
Assuming
things, obviously. And then I like paused and I was like, why do they say an ass out of you and me? Because it like actually doesn't make an ass out of me if you assume something. And she was like, Izzy, it spells it out.
Oh,
A-S-S is...
yeah.
Out of you.
Yes.
And me.
Yes.
And I swear, girlies, please, I swear there are people out there who don't also know that.
Yeah, but message
you can't just assume. You can't just assume. Everyone knows that.
What assume
you're
means.
Making an ass out of you and me by assuming that.
Who's the first person that ever said that?
What?
Who's like, who do you think is the first person that ever said that?
Some dad.
Like a dad said it and then it spread like wildfire, or did like separate people say it and then lots of different people think they're responsible for it? I have a funny story to tell you, which is that when we were in Croatia, I bought as a special treat for my in-laws who are in town.
Tickets. I thought you meant for me, Jada.
Oh, Jada, no, sorry. I know, I wish I didn't buy anyone a treat, including myself.
It gets too much.
It's too stressful.
Yeah.
There was so much Game of Thrones stuff there. I wanted to scream and cry because they filmed...
What?
They filmed some of Game of Thrones in Dubrovnik, and now it's like a Game of Thrones theme park. Like, it's fucked. And they have all these shops with these just tragic shirts and goblets and things.
No.
And anyway, they were performing Hamlet. They had all these signs that they were performing it in this outside cast. Have you been to... I know you've been to Croatia, but not Dubrovnik.
Well, I don't know where I've been.
I don't know where I am, where I've been, or where
I'm
going.
I've been to a main city in Croatia.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's Dubrovnik.
Was it like a medieval castle? I don't know. Stepchildren. Anyway, I bought the tickets and then I wanted everyone to have like a special treat. So I bought the front three rows as like the best tickets you could buy. And then we got there and it was in Croatian. And we and there was like English subtitles, but they were literally the row behind us. Like it was the first.
What?
Like because I was trying to give everyone like a special treat. It ended up killing us. And there was no intermission. And by the time we realized it was too late, like you couldn't leave. So we all had to sit for 2.5 hours and watch Shakespeare in Croatian. It was really shocking.
Why did you not think it was going to be in Croatian?
It said it was in Croatian with English subtitles, okay. Which I was like, how can a play have subtitles? So in my little brain, I just thought it will be in English.
They'll be holding up, they'll be like holding up the signs as they talk, like on Love Actually.
It's their fault for not explaining in the booking.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was just thinking about all sorts of things.
I mean, I've gone to the cinema in another country and not thought about that before.
I am so, what's the word? Like Anglo. Like when you just expect everything to be in English.
Mm.
I think that everywhere.
Yeah. I booked a Pilates class in Paris, then had to cancel it, like, and paid a fucking class pass fee because my boyfriend was like, won't it be in French? And I was like, fuck.
Oh my god, I know. I just expect it's like, yeah. Yeah. I just always.
What were you thinking about in there?
Can't remember. I was just like things I had to do when I got back here.
Mm-hmm. To do list.
I was trying to think of like, I can't even remember. I was like, please be over, please be over, please be over for so long. Everyone said they liked it, but I think they were just being nice. The girl
everyone said they liked it. Oh my god.
The girl got naked at one point, which was a highlight.
Wow.
I was like, don't know what's happening, don't know what's happening, don't know what's happening. This chick's fully naked. She's really hot. We don't know what's happening, don't know what's happening.
Now I don't know how to segue, but I wanted to. I don't know. I feel jolly and happy now, which I feel like maybe I should just ride the wave, but then it also feels weird not mentioning that I had some sad news earlier this week out of Auckland, and I know that so many people, so many of my friends and so many people in the community and literally just women everywhere are feeling so sad right now because a girl I know was killed in a domestic violence situation on Friday, and it was just, it's just like terrible and sad, and she was like in my wider group of friends, so I knew her, but she was much closer to like some of my best friends who were just still in shock, and it's just really surreal and sad and heartbreaking while at the same time being like just so angering because once again it's just like this violence against women that you see on the news, but this time it's like someone that you actually know and have spent time with, and it's just heartbreaking and very, I don't even know what to say, but it just felt weird not mentioning it because I feel like I've been a bit off, obviously, the past few days, and yeah. I just started feeling jolly just now. But it's like actually also quite funny being with you because it's like when, you know, when you're like, I don't know, I've just been fine because, or not fine. Like I have been like crying and et cetera, et cetera, but I haven't really talked to anyone in my family. And then yesterday when I was walking, I called my mum for the first time and I hadn't talked to her, and then I just started like bawling my eyes out. And it's like funny when you know when you how you let your guard down with your family, that's how it feels when I'm around you.
Yeah,
which is
totally.
Like funny because like the minute I saw you yesterday I was like gonna cry.
It's a massive thing. I mean, it's just such a fucked up situation. I think it's one of those things that we're all like aware of domestic violence in this really I mean, not for everyone. A lot of people are aware of it in a non-abstract way, but I think for a lot of people, it's something that they hate and find disgusting, but they still don't really think it's going to directly touch their lives or the lives of people they know. So it just feels so much more confronting.
Like you're aware of it in a more parental context, you know, than you are in terms of it being like women our age in a situation like that. I remember a few years ago, I met one of my friend's boyfriends, and we were just at like an engagement party or whatever, and I thought he was really nice, and then she kind of said something like, she kind of just said some offhanded comment about them not being that great and maybe them breaking up. And then I found out a while later that it was like this domestic violence situation that you just have no idea about. And like, yeah, you just, when it's our age especially, I think it's so easy to overlook because, again, you just don't think it could be happening. I don't know. There's like, I think it's worth talking about because I think that this violence against women epidemic is so, so bad. And when I was speaking to my mum, who's a social worker, so she sees this like literally every day.
Mm.
She said that New Zealand has like some of the worst statistics for domestic violence in the entire world. New Zealand currently ranks as the worst for domestic violence compared to other OECD countries, which I didn't know what that was, but it's like 30 countries that have signed some
mm-hmm.
weird pact thing. And like 1 in 3 women are estimated to be a victim of violence in their lifetime as of 2020. And then COVID obviously made things so much worse. And police were responding to domestic violence calls every 4 minutes.
Oh my God.
And it's like a tiny country.
Of 4 million people or whatever.
Yeah. So I just think that, I don't know, it's a good time and a good reminder to like check in on your loved ones and really listen and kind of be aware. I'm sending so much love to Auckland and to all of my really good friends who are really hurting right now. It's just heartbreaking and change needs to happen. And I guess like all we can do is try and look out for each other.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that. We can find it. I'll put it in the notes. But we did a interview with a manager of a domestic violence shelter who talked about a lot of around the FKA Twigs time. Basically, it was just a resource for women to kind of spot early signs and what to do if you're in a situation and stuff, so we can maybe embed that if anyone listening feels like that might be useful for them to listen to.
There's also a fundraiser for Elle's mum, which we'll put in the bio.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, on to try and perk me up. So I wanted to flag that which you would have noticed because you made us our palomas this week, that the Patron that was sent to us for the podcast recording is almost empty.
It's whittled away. I mean, is this just you at home alone doing shots of Patron like a rapper?
It's actually, when we record the pod, I've been drinking it.
It goes down a treat.
It's so delicious.
Tequila's underrated. It's like the most hated. It's the most hated on, maligned spirit, I feel.
But it's obviously having such a like resurgence now.
Is it? Do you think?
Well, with margaritas.
Yes.
Palomas. I feel
tequila
like hot
on its
girls
own.
Now are drinking tequila soda lime.
I think I actually, if I'm being honest and true to myself, I don't like gin. I don't like it. I don't really like gin and tonics.
I agree. I don't really like gin and tonic. But it's like what I will end up drinking on a night out. If we go out and we're at a bar, you know, because there's seriously such a market for like, I don't know. I know. I guess palomas are kind of that, but there's such a market for just like a drink that obviously when we're having cute wines with the girlies, we'll have like natural wines, or we'll have red wine with dinner, or you'll have a beer if you're at the pub. But if you're out on a night out at a club,
yes.
I end up reverting to gin and tonic, even though I don't really like it.
Because you panic at the bar,
then
you just order
it. What the fuck
else
am I going to drink?
So what they drink in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills,
yes.
or Dorit drinks, it's like everyone knows, like skinny bitches, which is
vodka soda.
Yeah. But what she does is she does vodka, 2 shots of vodka, bit of soda, 4 squeezes. Like, I love how bougie this is. 4 limes worth of lime juice.
Yeah, gorgeous.
And then she calls it corpse out, which is when you take the limes out, like they don't sit in it.
Gorgeous.
And I was like, that sounds really nice. Like a big chunk of fresh lime juice, a little bit of soda water, a lot of vodka in a glass on its own with lots of ice.
Wait, didn't you drink gin martinis?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to swap to vodka ones. I actually don't like vodka, to be honest.
I don't like vodka either.
Vodka can suck my dick.
But I also think we're just, like, our palate has aged out of, like, the cheap stuff we used to drink. And, like, I thought I hated tequila. And now when we drink this, like, nice Patron, I'm like, I love tequila. So maybe we need to drink, what's that nice vodka called?
Oh, I have a nice one from, like, Iceland at home, which I had to throw out of the, I had all this nice alcohol in the freezer, trying to be a bougie bitch when we make martinis, and I had to like throw it all out and smash it on the ground like I was at like a Greek wedding because I needed to put so much ice in the freezer because it's been so fucking hot. And I know talking about the heat wave is boring, but record-breaking temperatures in the city yesterday. And like, me and you, we lived in Sydney, we understand what a 40 degree heat is. It's just like absolutely no sweat off our back.
Yes.
But when you're inside the houses here, they are made to trap the heat. Like, there is no aircon. They're made for freezing cold weather. And so the walls in my house, the door handles, everything was piping hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, I was just like, what am I gonna do? And then I can't open the windows from the bottom because we have a cat who's trapped inside like Rapunzel. And so I was like, ah, and then I was so worried about him that I kept chasing him around and trying to brush him.
Aww. Yeah, I was on the tube yesterday and that was like, I knew not to go on, but I just had to because I was going to see a play by myself, Jare, but it was a really nice little date on my own.
I know you like to do that stuff by yourself, but sometimes when you say that, I'm like, oh, I would have wanted to come with you on a cute day out.
I know, because what happens is I see these tickets for these things that I buy, these like £19 tickets, and it's like 6 months out, then all of a sudden it comes up and I'm like, oh fuck.
Mm.
And I think in my head I'll tell someone else to buy one. But yeah, the tube was hideous. So apparently,
if you went on the tube yesterday,
I know, I was like, I'll do anything not to go on, but the only other option was to walk, which I was like, I'll literally yes. drop dead in Hyde Park.
Yes.
But apparently the tube gets 7 to 8 degrees hotter. Like, the tube going around is fine. It's when you get into central London where it's the underground, which
yeah,
is
yeah, the
fucked.
Underground.
And that apparently it gets to 7 to 8 degrees hotter than outside. And they were thinking they might have to shut down the tubes because if it gets over 48 degrees in the tube, it's higher than the legal amount for livestock. So you like legally can't put humans in those conditions.
Oh,
because
God.
That's like animals aren't allowed to be in hotter conditions than that.
Animals!
Which is so funny. So I was on and it was, everyone was being like a foul beast, which I understand. But you know how it's always busy from stop to stop in those like central ones mm-hmm. near Oxford Circus? Because everyone was so hot and panicked about being stuck on the platform. They were like bashing each other to get on when there just wasn't enough room. And it was just making the trains sit there for so much longer. And everyone was like screaming at each other because they were like, you trying to get on is just stopping. We're just going to sit here until people agree to go back on the platform. It's just so stupid.
And yuck, it was that full.
It was foul. It was, I was trying to disassociate. I was like deep breathing and I was like, and then someone saw this man, so I was like squashed and I felt like a little girl again. He was like, there's a lady here, and like helped me.
Oh my god, like the Titanic. The women and children first.
Like the Titanic. There's a young woman here.
Oh,
that's what
god.
He said, and he like helped me.
You were like not that young, but the Botox
like,
is doing wonders.
He turned around and was like, oh. But I was like thinking about this because when I came back and I had my suitcase, just no one helped me. It took me longer to get from Gatwick to my house than it did to get from Dubrovnik to England.
I swear to fucking God, I know.
But no one helps you. Have you noticed this? Like, I know we're not as sprightly as we used to be, but like, no one will help you with a suitcase.
Yeah, and we wanted feminism, but we didn't want this.
We didn't want, I'm like, we haven't achieved enough equality for men to not help us with suitcases.
Literally.
It's bullshit. All these big burly men were like walking past me and they struggled down the stairs. What's wrong with them? I wanted to kill them. I was like, you don't give us equality and you don't help us.
Yeah.
Like they're living in their fucking twilight mecca years.
I know.
They keep getting paid more than us, but don't have to do anything chivalrous.
I know. Popping out a baby age 50 with someone younger than us. Honestly, fuck them all.
I know.
I know. It's like, live in London because you can travel to Europe so easily. And then, you can't travel with a suitcase right now because they're losing them all. B, they keep cancelling every single flight. When I was coming back from Barcelona, I thought I was going to miss my flight because the line in the airport was, like, so crazy.
In Portugal, it was, like, something out of, like, 28 days later, like fucking apocalypse zombie movie. Everyone was a foul beast.
I know, and everyone's just like they get all embarrassing and
people like jump in front of you to get like one step ahead in the passport queue. And I was like, okay, sweetheart, off you go.
That was happening to me as well, where I was lined up for like priority boarding because bitch has a overhead carry on always. And someone like, yeah, they try and cut in front of you, or they do that like whispering thing to whoever they're with to be like, oh, did that person do that? Rah, 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 like, rah, rah. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
Fuck up.
Anyway.
Hate everyone. Okay. On to a jolly and silly little discussion about Netflix's Persuasion.
Number one movie in the UK today, obviously.
Number one movie in the UK. It is Dakota Johnson-led Jane Austen adaptation. I feel like Persuasion is potentially the least known Jane Austen book, possibly.
I am going to sound so uneducated, even more uneducated than when I said I didn't understand why people say assume. But yeah, I don't really... I didn't even know Clueless was based off a Jane Austen book until I read something just today.
I haven't read Persuasion. I love a Jane Austen adaptation as much as like the next choogy millennial
woman. The one with Keira Knightley, right?
No. So Pride and Prejudice is the one. There's been so many. So Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley.
I love that one.
I love that one as well. That's underrated.
I love it.
It's underrated because everyone loves the original BBC adaptation of Pride and Prejudice.
Yes, with Colin Firth, which I haven't seen.
Which I actually, so I was always like, oh, I'm a loyalist to the BBC adaptation because that's what you're meant to say to sound cultured. And then the Keira Knightley one, you're meant to say, isn't as good. And then I rewatched both over Christmas. And whilst the Colin Firth one is like very authentically true to the era or whatever, I actually think the Joe Wright Keira Knightley one is maybe better. People are gonna kill me.
Gorgeous.
But Matthew McFadden, who plays
Admission,
yeah, who plays Tom in Succession, is Mr. Darcy.
Oh, in the
Keira Knightley one.
Oh my god.
Yes. He used to be like a hottie heartthrob and now he's like this funny clown. Stop. I know. And he plays Darcy almost like slightly autistic and like that's why he is so rude. And I love that interpretation. It's great. So those two. Then there's Sense and Sensibility, which Emma Thompson, who's like my favorite person in the world at the moment, wrote the adaptation for and won an Oscar for it for Best Adapted Screenplay. Gorgeous. And starred in it. And Kate Winslet's in it too. And it was just after her husband had left her for Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh, my God.
And the guy who she cast as Kate Winslet's love interest in the movie, she thought he was going to hook up with Kate Winslet, who was like 20, beautiful. Emma Thompson was in her 30s. And he just fell madly in love with Emma Thompson. And now they've been married for like 30 years. That's really cute.
The opposite of Jade.
I know. What's the opposite of Jade?
That's so cute.
So love those. So there's like a high. And then Emma, which we talked about, came out last year with Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yes.
And that was really good.
Yes. I liked it, but I didn't love it.
I loved it.
Yeah. But I don't know why I didn't. I think it's more like I liked everything about it, but maybe I just found it kind of boring. Or something, yeah, like enough. Not enough happened in it. Also, I don't know, with Pride and Prejudice, with like the care, I don't know, it was just felt, I think I love like a very Jade, like real romantic story. Whereas Emma was less, it was kind of more,
like, it's actually more about her and her friends and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, Pride and Prejudice is the OG. It's the best. It's because it's like a naughty boy and a fiery woman. A rich fuck boy. So Persuasion is one of the like least known. I think it's been adapted before, but it's not. There's no famous adaptation of it. And it's kind of a quieter story. It's about Anne Elliot, who I think the reason people, which we'll get into, really don't like this Netflix adaptation is because Anne Elliot's meant to be really quiet and shy and submissive. And she wanted to marry this guy who had no money, and she let her family talk her out of it because she's a bit of a pushover, and then she's sat regretting it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he comes back, she's like too scared to say anything because she just keeps getting pulled in directions because she has no kind of backbone. But then the book is very much about her.
A people pleaser.
She's a people pleaser. And then the interior of her, like what she actually feels and thinks, is like a big part of the book. So this movie Dakota Johnson plays this like sassy, quirky, cute, like manic pixie dream girl
yes.
kind of vibe. And people are furious because they're like, this is not what the book is meant to be at all.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, we just had a quick break for a
top up,
but I wanted to tell you that I, you know how last week I was saying to you that I was slurring after one Paloma?
Mm-hmm.
I then decided the next day for the Patreon ep to measure what I'd been drinking, and I thought it was a shot glass, which is what you just poured, but it was an egg cup, and it was over double.
Over so that's double. Why you were lit.
So I had like, I was having... Well, yeah, two and a half drinks at once. And that's why I was so lit.
Anyway, well done. Very AWD of you.
Back to persuasion. Right, so I didn't realize that the girl was supposed to be really timid and meek and thing. And yet Dakota Johnson is not like that at all. She's quite...
She's so likable. I just love her.
She's such a good actress.
I could just watch her on screen
Same.
All day.
I agree. And she does this thing which already got backlash in the trailer before the movie even came out, where she talks to the camera in a very Fleabag-esque way, which makes the film, like, I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, it's Fleabag and it's a bit kind of millennially and a bit, I don't know, it's kind of the opposite of like a Jane Austen classic. But then I didn't hate it that much.
Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
the level. So when it came out, it got, which was a couple of days ago, it has gotten so slammed. It's like insane. I think The Guardian gave it like 3 separate 1-star reviews from 3
really?
Different writers. It's like a derangement, like persuasion derangement syndrome. The Atlantic wrote like a scathing piece saying it's trying to have it all and it tries to be subversive and it just doesn't work. There's been all these pieces about like embedding all the tweets of people that just fucking hated it because it does.
There are some embarrassing parts.
Yeah. So they do the Fleabag thing, which from the way people wrote about it, saying it was just so tragically, desperately trying to be like Fleabag that it was just so uncomfortable and awful to watch.
Kim and Spacey did it first.
Yeah. Yes. And I just didn't think it was that. I didn't even notice. I think in the first 5 minutes, it's kind of annoying, but then it just tapers off in the rest of the film.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even notice it that much.
Yeah, same. But some of the dialogue is bad.
That's so they've introduced some, like, modern dialogue, which
yes,
is
don't.
Cringy.
So one of them is, if you're a 5 in London, you're a 10 in Bath.
It's really
which
jarring.
Is, like, very jade. it's, like, a true comment, but it didn't need to be said. Well, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a 5 in... Wait, if you're a, yeah, so if you're a 5 in, like, Auckland.
Yes.
You're a 10 in Hawke's Bay.
If you're a 5 in Sydney, you're a 10 in Perth. I don't actually know if that's true. A lot of the 10s I know live in Perth.
Yeah, Perth's
a hotbed for hotties.
Yeah. But yeah, and then also what else? She said, now I'm single and thriving. And then she also said at one point, now we're strangers. Worse than strangers. We're exes.
I don't fully understand, like, what the criticisms have said is that those things are cringy, which they are.
Yes.
I think they overstated how cringy they are. I think if I hadn't read that people hated it that much, I definitely wouldn't have had this, like, impassioned response to those lines, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't read anything when she said them, I was kind of like,
It's cringe, yeah.
But it's, I don't know, yeah, the way people are going off is because they're going off because it is a Jane Austen adaption. Whereas I was like, I've seen so much worse on Netflix in like the last fucking 6 months alone that I don't know why we're having such a freak out about this. I enjoyed watching this. Like, I could just have it on in the background. I wasn't like, this is the best film I've ever seen. But Dakota Johnson's acting is great. Henry Golding, your friend, is of course a hottie. Mm-hmm. I found that really cute British actress.
She was great, the sister.
Great and gorgeous. Yeah. Wait, the one who was gonna hook up with him and then she fell. I liked her. And the sister, she was really cute.
Sister was great. Gorgeous. Yeah.
But I thought Nia Towle, because I feverishly Googled her, because she's like that kind of beautiful, you know, we're just attracted to beauty. I was like, yeah. I can't stop staring at her face. And she also just needs to get a better agent because she doesn't have an IMDb profile picture. And she's like mostly a model, but she also doesn't have an Instagram. I was like, girl.
get it together.
But yeah, I found it like fine to watch. I genuinely couldn't finish. And I know that we'll have a lot of fans of these two shows in this safe space, but I couldn't finish Emily in Paris and I couldn't finish Bridgerton because I actually just found them both. I couldn't even have them on in the background. I found them too annoying. Whereas I could happily watch it and have a cute girls' night in and not feel upset.
100%. I feel the same. I found, Emily in Paris, I couldn't even sit through it as like a guilty watch or whatever. I weirdly like Bridgerton. I don't really know why. Oh. It's like a...
something.
The wiring's got crossed somewhere.
Did you watch season two?
Yeah, I watched season two. Then I got to interview Simone Ashley, who's the chick in it.
Oh, yeah,
and it was
great.
At this event that had like... I interviewed Daisy Edgar Jones, Florence Pugh. I actually didn't speak to Florence Pugh, but I was like filmed a thing with her. And then Simone Ashley. And I was like, it's Simone Ashley. And I was like, hi, you're like really good at Bridgerton. And I was being so weird. I don't know what happened.
I mean, she's pretty gorgeous and chic.
Yeah, she's just
cool.
I was having Bridgerton derangement syndrome. Okay, I think the source of this weird aggressive reaction is two things. So here's a tweet that summarizes why people hate it so much. What is preemptively pissing me off about the new Persuasion is that it speaks to a much larger problem with adaptations of classics, where studios seem to think that all female characters need to be glossed with a zany millennial girl gloss patina to become relevant. And I do understand that to a certain extent, but I also feel like people are getting overly pissed off because they just want to show people that they know who they've read Jane Austen. It's like how we were talking about the hot girl books trend where people now want to seem like they're very like smart and worldly and whatever because they read a lot. It almost feels like there's this thing with that where people are saying, I've read the book, I've read Jane Austen and this is not the same. Like, I get it's a bit cringy, but this pylon just seems totally out of line with what the film is actually like. And it's kind of speaks to this thing now where if we don't like with Emily in Paris, I think I wrote something at the time where people are like, it's the worst thing ever, or like it's the best. And I was like, everyone just needs to chill with this obsession with if you don't like something, it needs to be the worst thing you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It can just be something that's
not for
fine.
You.
Like, why do you need to write these like long, I don't know.
Yeah. When I was watching it, I was thinking about Chris Martin watching it for some reason. Cause I know he's like Jardine, like embarrassing as well. And wrote a song called You Are My Universe about Dakota Johnson, which is like inherently so embarrassing. So I don't know why I was like thinking about him, but I was thinking about him watching it and being like, having to just be like, this is good, when it's like, it is not that good, but it's not.
I think this as well, when I watched up, I think, do partners say that they think it's great?
Obviously, yes.
They just have to.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, what are you, a fucking movie director? Fuck off. Go write. Fix you again.
Yeah. But I mean, Dakota Johnson has said herself, she is a prime example of the fact that with actors and actresses, I think they obviously get so much fame and they get so much money and they become such huge successes, but at the same time they get put at the front of like everything if a movie pans or if it just is shit. Whereas, as she said about 50 Shades, she signed up to a completely different project, was forced to do it. You just would have no idea. You'd have to really trust the director, which I think Kirsten Dunst has said before, with it, because you can sign up to something and think it's like, she could have signed up to this and thought it was going to be way cooler than it is. It's not that, I don't even think it's that bad, and I don't even think she would think it's that bad, but it's just funny how we kind of give the actors too much kind of credit for things like that.
Yes, and I also think, which I don't know why I like knew this, but for some reason it's just sunk into my brain, that for directors and actors, if your movie doesn't make money, like this thing of this movie being panned, this director who's like a female theater director, who I feel like is getting really unfairly thing, she just won't get another job now. Like that is how Hollywood works. Like, and with Dakota Johnson, obviously she'll keep getting work. But if she had this and then another flop and then another like flop, they would just stop hiring you. Like, I never think about these actors or directors as like, when they put something out, it actually has to sell or be successful or they won't get another film.
Yeah.
Elaine May is this like famous female director, and she made this movie in the 80s called Ishtar, and it was very similar, where it got so slammed that it became so cool for everyone to say it was like the worst movie ever made. And then she didn't direct again for the rest of her career. She was like in her early 40s because it was seen as such a mess. And then over the course of the last like 10, 15 years, people have started being like, it's not actually that bad. Like, why were people so insane about it? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it just sometimes becomes really fashionable to say that something's really, really shit.
Jennifer's Body?
Oh, yeah, Jennifer's Body, yeah.
Or even Marie Antoinette. People just like didn't like that at the time.
What all these movies have in common? Directed by women. Fuck off, everyone. Literally.
I read a thing that you popped in from The Atlantic that kind of summarizes what people don't like about it again, where they say there's obviously Clueless, and then there was the 6-episode version of Pride and Prejudice from the BBC, which you were talking about, and they were saying these remain the two twin poles of what can be done with Austen's vivid body of work, like a faithful reproduction that draws directly from the author's clever dialogue and rich characterization, and an arc modern masterpiece that captures her comedic spirit. And then they were saying that Persuasion tries to take both approaches at the same time, which I do think is kind of true.
Yes, and it kind of fails at both. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
But I quite liked how light and easy it was to watch.
Yeah, it was. I agree. I feel like it's definitely not the Citizen Kane, but it's...
Yes.
This is fine.
Okay, so on to a Victoria's Secret documentary that came out on Paramount Plus, and I have another subscription to add to my won't cancel and will be billed for.
I'm such a sucker. I was like, I'm signing up to Paramount Plus, but I'm unsubscribing the second I watch this stupid documentary. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll watch... I don't even know what the fuck was
like
on there.
Nothing else.
There's
on
nothing
there.
On there, but I was like, I might have something I want to see on there. I just get sucked
in. I've set an alarm for every single day at 11 a.m. till I cancel it.
Good on you.
But didn't work today.
Maybe tomorrow.
So a new documentary has come out called Angels and Demons. It's three episodes, right?
Three episodes, yeah. A three-part doc, and it's by this guy who directed Valentino, The Last Emperor. So he's got a kind of, which I think might have been nominated for an Oscar. I think I'm lying. But he is like a respected kind of investigative guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the documentary has a bit of prestige to it. And it feels like it's done very tastefully and like properly. Like he's really investigated all of the strands.
Yeah.
And does, I felt like I never wanted to hear about or talk about Victoria's Secret again in my life, but I do feel like it pulled out a lot of things that I found genuinely quite interesting.
Yeah, I found actually at the start, the way they start the documentary, I need to go back and pause it to see if I'm in it, because I was there I was at the final Victoria's Secret show. It's going to be written on my tombstone.
Yes.
But I was there, obviously, in the backstage area interviewing the girls as they were filming this. And the only reason, because obviously there's like hours and hours of them getting ready, but the only reason I know that is because at one point, all three of, I can't even remember the names, I think it was like Candace, Bihari, and someone else stood up on a table and photographers were taking heaps and heaps of photos. And you know how Bihari or someone goes, don't push, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I was there taking photos of them there. So other than that, which I was like, wow, what I found interesting was like the backstory. I really liked episode one, which was the backstory of kind of how this, his name was Les, right?
Yeah, Les Wexner.
How he started Victoria's Secret and he'd bought it off this couple. And that was really funny because they interviewed them and they were like, we started Victoria's Secret, but what they started was really shit. And then Les took over it and completely transformed it. And how kind of entrepreneurial and clever he was, because he understood that like women were going into these malls at the time. It was like the pre-Instagram days where you would dress up and go to the mall and women would go and meet there and they'd go there like two or three times a week and they'd do some shopping. And so he was just like, I'm gonna change things in the store every single day so that when the women come in, there's something new to see.
It was so nostalgic to think about that like mall era.
I love the mall.
Yeah, because we were all mall rats, like we'd go on the weekend, and it was making me think how when you were young, you would buy clothes and dress up in an outfit to go to the mall because you hoped that you'd like bump into your crush from school outside of school uniform or like see some girls that you wanted to look cool. It's so funny. Like now we just buy stuff and take a photo and then you hope people will see it, but bring back being a mall rat at Westfield and getting like a $5 Chinese takeaway in your Supre outfit and hoping you'll see someone and go to the movies.
I was always eating the Indian at the food court, and I was trying to explain that to my boyfriend who is Indian, and they don't have that here. Like they don't have the same. He was just like, I don't really understand what you're talking about. And I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to take you to New Zealand.
The tubs and you fill it up.
And the butter chicken is just literally like a fucking 300 grams of sugar and some like orange sauce. And it's so fucking delicious.
It's beautiful, yeah.
And the rice even is like a specific kind of rice. Oh my God, it was so delicious.
Yeah.
And then they were talking about how like competitors would go twice a year to Europe and they called it shopping the stores, which is where you would go see what's popular in Europe and then come back and copy it and just change like one tiny detail and copy it. And Victoria's Secret would go six times. They were so clever in the way they were marketing. They jumped on the internet straight away. They took out a Super Bowl ad. They decided on the Victoria's Secret fashion show. So I was just like, how did it become so terribly like unclear about culture moving? And it's like they were on the internet the minute it came out. They were like crashing the site with millions of people on there trying to watch this show, and then they just can't get their shit together later.
That's what was I found so interesting about how Victoria's Secret did so well, because in the 80s I found this whole mythology of Victoria so interesting, where Les came up with this backstory in the 80s when Victoria's Secret first took off, that Victoria was like an English aristocrat's daughter who was very sophisticated and chic and like had kids and was married to a barrister and like threw dinner parties and this very weird thing, which was seen as aspirational in the 80s. And then in the 90s realized that was outdated and kind of shifted towards the bombshell sexy thing. And then in the noughties,
they also said though that the minute they said Victoria was English was when the brand started really taking off with Americans.
It's so bizarre. Like, I guess we just don't understand that era, what that was. But in the noughties, which I thought was fascinating.
I mean, that's us now with like French people.
Exactly. Like if they said Victoria's French, we would have been like, yes. That the Clinton, like Monica Lewinsky affair created this like openness of dialogue around sex in American culture, or like opened the floodgates in some ways. And then Sex and the City came out and started framing being free and open about sex and dressing provocatively as empowerment. And like Victoria's Secret just grabbed that ball and ran with it so hard that their whole noughties campaigning was the word sexy, changing their campaigns to be almost like softcore pornographic, referencing Playboy and making that aesthetic feel kind of high fashion by using these really respected supermodels and massive photographers.
Yeah, and they were saying it was so hard at first to get the massive supermodels when they and how they started was through those, what were they called?
Catalogs. Yeah.
Catalogs crazy. That you'd find in the mail. And they did such a smart thing where they said, bring this coupon in and you get a free set of a free pair of underwear. And obviously you'd do that because you'd be like, oh, a free pair of nice underwear. But then the minute you're in the store, you buy all this other shit.
Yeah.
Like, why don't brands do that now?
Genius.
but yeah, they, wait, what was I going to say? Oh yeah. They were saying that it was like really hard to get those supermodels at the start because modeling in lingerie was seen as being naff.
Mm.
And then the way they transformed that to like every supermodel, every model in the world wanted to walk for them. I found the modeling part. I don't know. I was like, I'm a tug and I'm the problem. But I liked like hearing about the modeling part.
Same. I loved how they said that. I still find it so crazy when I think about it that like Giselle and Naomi Campbell were Victoria's Secret girls. Like, I always think about it as, like, Heidi Klum and Adriana Lima and Tyra Banks and people that are, like, a bit genre and smiley and...
No, yeah.
You know, like...
Everyone.
Giselle and Naomi is crazy. Like, that's the...
Did Kate Moss ever?
I looked it up. I don't think so.
Yeah. She's too in cool. My brain, it feels like she did. Same. Or even, like, Cara Delevingne doesn't feel like she was a Victoria's Secret girl, and she was.
Yeah, and I loved how they said that the... What there was like a phrase they said where like sometimes corny really works, and the idea of adding the wings,
yes,
is so corny, but so people corny. Loved it, and it added this, which I was like, this is so true, this hierarchy to the modeling system, and that's what got the models, the supermodels, really in, because it was like, we're gonna crown, it was like a beauty pageant, we're gonna crown who we think the most important supermodels are at this show, which is like the Super Bowl for women each year, with the biggest, literally with the biggest wings. It's so insane.
And then it became that Swarovski crystal bra. That, what was that called? It was
the fantasy bra.
Yes, the fantasy bra. And it was worth like millions of dollars. And if you got to wear the fantasy bra, it was crazy. And they were showing models finding out they were wearing wings and crying. And I was like, Jade. But like...
The whole thing was so bizarre.
Yeah.
And it's so funny how it went from, which they capture really well, it went from being so relevant up to like 2015 to being so outdated by like 2017. And that the obviously the huge shift between when it was and wasn't was Me Too. And you're kind of watching it thinking, God, like, why didn't they adapt to the times? They had all these amazing women designers and executives who were there who were saying, we need to do maternity wear, we need to do shapewear, we need to do size diversity, we need to do like... skin tone diversity, and they were just being ignored. And you obviously come to realize that the reason the one social trend they didn't adapt to, which was Me Too inclusion, treating women with respect, the reason that they didn't adapt to that and died was because their CEO was like best buddies with Jeffrey Epstein, and that their whole, like the two guys that ran it, Ed Razek and Les Wexner, were the exact kind of misogynistic... fucked up men that Me Too was all about.
What like, did Jeffrey have over? I mean, I kind of zoned out in episode 2 because I was like, oh, we all know Jeffrey's a fucking pedo.
Yeah.
But they, one bit that I found interesting was when they said Liz, who's the guy that founded Victoria's Secret, so, so rich, so, so powerful, signed over like his entire power of attorney and all his assets to Jeffrey.
They fucked for sure.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
That's what I thought.
I mean, don't sue me, Liz. They fucked for sure, allegedly. But the documentary really sets up this idea that they probably had this,
okay, because
like,
I was kind of zoning out and then I zoned back in and was like, what?
There was rumors for years that...
Oh my God, Jeffrey is...
All these men, no question. This is what he... He was a little weasel. This is what he did. He either, I think, slept with them himself and threatened to expose it, Or he lured them in with the young girls and the massages and filmed people or threatened that he'd filmed them. And then that he just had leverage over literally everyone. That was the scariest thing about him. But I think with Les, they insinuate that it was kind of a rumor for years that he was gay, but in the era that he came from and his like family background could never admit to being gay. He suddenly, when there started being some heat on him and his relationship with Epstein, married this woman. And it came, like, the stuff in the third episode about the two of them and what they did for Jeffrey Epstein is just, like, so unforgivable and fucked up. He should be in jail. But it's interesting that the whole I find what I find really interesting is like the whole of Victoria's Secret was for so many years built on this idea, which I even remember from watching the show, that lingerie and watching the angels walk on the runway was like empowering for women. And we all just swallowed that up like with a spoonful of sugar for like for so long, and then suddenly we're like, this is fucked, and they just couldn't switch.
I know, but it's also like, it is just, it just feeds into our obsession with beauty, which is just like programmed into us in this way that I'm so embarrassed to admit that I, when I turned it on, was really interested at the start because they were showing like the girls. And then as they got more into like the Epstein and the old creepy old men part, I was just like, oh. And then I was like, why do I want to just watch these beautiful women still? They just know that we as a society like have a sick obsession with it, because we obviously do. Like, it's like how our Instagram algorithms are today. It's who we follow. It's what we engage with. And they really just sold that to us and made us eat it up.
I feel like a certain nostalgia, because I think we talked about this before with Victoria's Secret, where I don't want to do a revisionist history where we all now pretend that we didn't gobble it up at the time.
Like, exactly. Yeah,
we loved it, and I was watching it. This is us. We're going to get ourselves cancelled. But I felt the same as you where I was watching it, and I was like, I wish they just pivoted, because I would love if that stupid show was still on, but with, like, yes, Paloma and Gila and, like, super diverse casting and, like, amazing. It just wasn't that hard to do.
No.
And then we could still watch it because they're still the biggest supermodels in the world, and it just would have still felt
fun. Yeah, because it's, like, even with Fenty, I loved, like, the first and second show, and then it kind of just, it feels like the third one wasn't that great. I need to rewatch it, but I feel like another one has come out since there was, like, Paris Hilton and everyone in it, and I just, like, completely haven't even seen it. And it just feels like there's nothing that's... I know Fenty came to replace it, and that was so amazing. And I'm watching that, I was just like, this is fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I want it to be an annual event. I want it on every year at the same time. And it can be Fenty or it can be Victoria's Secret, as long as it's like that...
It's a Super Bowl vibe. I think that's the thing that we miss, is that, like, everyone sat and watched it together at the same time.
And your, like, boyfriends would watch it because they were, like, great. And yes, the girls would watch it because we were just like, this is fun.
Yeah, it was just all, everything about it was great. You learned all the models' names. It's just a bygone era, I guess. But I just, and I loved how they were explaining that it turned models into, like, pop culture figures in this way that had just never been done before. Like, in the past, you knew, if you knew who... I mean, I guess people like Linda Evangelista and like Cindy Crawford were always famous to people, but like that idea of them being a massive pop culture phenomenon just didn't exist till Victoria's Secret.
But it was also interesting how they said that that itself actually came back to like bite them in the ass, because they raised these women's profiles up so much. Social media became a thing, and then suddenly the women didn't need them anymore and could speak out against them. And, you know, they were... They kind of profiled or like pushed some of the biggest names that we know now into the world. And then suddenly they could, like, they just had that profile and didn't need them anymore. Whereas beforehand it was like, you needed the angel wings, you needed the fantasy bra. Everyone was working to get to this point. But once the models have their own profiles and are famous in their own right, they can be like, fuck this.
I feel so bad for so many of the women they interviewed who worked there and were incredibly intelligent and hardworking and like wanted the company to be the thing. Because I think this is what happens with these businesses and companies that we rightly criticize and call out and don't want to spend our money with anymore, is that we just assume that like everyone within the company has the same idea as the person who leads it, whereas like we even know from our own experiences that you can be working somewhere that's and be frustrated at like that progress isn't being made quick enough.
Yeah,
it's kind of sad, but I'm also like, I never shopped at Victoria's Secret ever, so I'm not gonna start now.
Ed said that women only work out to look good for naked men, and that just shows how little he knew about women.
He's crazy.
I literally like could not give less of a fuck about looking good naked for men.
No.
I never have.
He's literally insane. And that interview, I loved how they interviewed Nicole Phelps. She's so fucking chic. And she was talking about that famous interview she did with him.
Oh, yeah.
She kept being like, trying to give them, she was like, I was trying to give him an out. Like, I was trying to be like,
yeah,
this is your opportunity to like lay out a plan.
It wasn't supposed to be this crazy New York Times like expose.
Yeah, Vogue doesn't like doing those things. They were trying to like They would just give them a platform to re-thing, and he's like, nope, gonna let this.
No transsexuals.
Transsexual. Like, I literally forgot that word even existed. And I was like, oh. Red, you fuck.
Okay, we need to go. But we will be, if you need more of us, we'll be on the Patreon discussing all things. There's like a lot actually that I've thrown in our doc.
Yes. All another, things, full stop.
Another hot barista boy encounter. Imrata and her husband. How hot became a lifestyle. And of course, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.